We are joined right now by somebody who represents the following: MLB Network, NHL Network, Fox Sports, MLB Network Radio. A man who, as I pointed out in the past, can break down why the Upper Peninsula is in fact a part of Michigan. He is a friend of the program, and he can watch John across MLB Network's programming throughout the season. Plus, MLB Network has live All-Star Game coverage from Cleveland today and tomorrow. I welcome back John Morosi. John, good to have you. How are you?
Jim, I am outstanding, my friend. A great week to be an American sports fan. We had our World Cup triumph there yesterday, and then, of course, all the festivities going on in Cleveland this week.
All true, and I'm going to talk about Cleveland in just 1 minute, but every time you've done the show this year, John, we have talked about the Dodgers and what they're doing, so there's no way that we cannot do that again today. They're 60-32 at the All-Star break, and that comes after dropping three straight going into the break. So if you're Dave Roberts, how are you feeling about the first half?
I would feel excellent. Of course, the Dodgers have the best record in baseball right now, Jim, and yes, maybe a bit of a stumble late the last few games before the break, but this team almost has no weakness. I say almost because they're a club that I believe is going to look very seriously at the bullpen market in the coming weeks. Of course, we now have only one trade deadline in baseball, July 31st. That is it. And I would expect them to get the best reliever they can pair with Kenley Jansen. That could be a co-closer, ideally a left-hander, potentially Felipe Vasquez, who is now an All-Star as well. This week, I would watch him carefully. Will Smith of the Giants, potentially even a trade between those two great rivals, which by the way, has not happened since 2007, a Dodger-Giant trade. But this team, Jim, you look at the way that they've had the bullpen, I think, at times be a weakness for them in the last two World Series. When you've got a team that's this good, this talented, that's made it to the World Series in back-to-back years, you simply cannot afford for your season to end short of a championship because the bullpen is not deep enough. You know it's a weakness. I expect for that reason Andrew Friedman's going to be very aggressive in addressing that with a trade here in the coming weeks.
John Morosi joining us. All right, you broke that down for me. I don't even need to follow. What about the Astros? They're 57-33. They're talking about adding pitching. Where are they looking, John, and what does that tell you about their motivation to win this year?
Well, Jim, it's really interesting because this is a team that, of course, they've got multiple all-star pitchers right now. Justin Verlander, who's going to start the game, Garrett Cole, and Ryan Pressly, who's really emerged as a great reliever. But Garrett Cole is going to be the preeminent free agent pitcher this winter. And when you look at their rotation, Verlander, Cole, Wade Miley, they have, I believe, a very strong need for a starting pitcher to fill in that third or fourth spot, depending on how high the acquisition ends up being. And it's my belief, Jim, they're going to pursue players they would control beyond the end of this year because you think about Garrett Cole, free agent after this year, Wade Miley, also a free agent, Colin McHugh, a free agent, and they've had some of their young prospects, especially Corbin Martin, who just had Tommy John surgery, Forrest Whitley. They have not really emerged in a way that you would expect. So those names, I believe, that the multi-year control pitchers, Marcus Stroman in Toronto, Matthew Boyd in Detroit, and potentially the Texas native himself, Noah Syndergaard with the Mets. Now, the Mets, as you know, Jim, they're in a bit of a state of disarray right now. I'm not sure if they're almost in the headspace to make a trade like that because there's been so much turmoil there. But if they do decide to go that route, I do think the Mets and Astros would pair up very well on a trade for Noah Syndergaard.
We were talking to John Morosi. That'd be really interesting. Now, the Yankees are thought to be interested in pitching as well, John, and the name Madison Bumgarner has come up quite a bit, or at least did back in June. Where do things stand with that right now, and how do you think he would fit New York?
Well, it's a great question, Jim, and I think that there is still some dialogue, some contact between the Giants and the Yankees about the possibility of a Bumgarner trade. I don't get the sense that things are terribly close right now or that they're really gaining momentum at the moment. I actually happen to think, Jim, there's a better chance that Bumgarner goes to a National League club, like potentially the Brewers, maybe the Braves, who I think would have a very good chance to sign him long-term because, of course, he's from North Carolina and would really welcome the chance to be there and pitch close to home. So I think for the Yankees, Jim, he's one of many possibilities. I think Stroman and Boyd are fits there as well, potentially, because they know they've got to replace CC Sabathia after this year as well. So getting someone who you have control of, I think, would have a great deal of appeal. Of course, Madison Bumgarner is just a rental for this year alone. I look most especially, Jim, at the great number of left-handed hitters for the Dodgers, for the Brewers. Those are teams that are very left-handed heavy. And if you're a team, for example, if you are the Brewers, then you know that you have to find a way to get through the Dodgers. It really helps to have that dominant lefty starter if you could possibly have one, because you want to have a lefty to go up against the likes of Bellinger and Muncy and Peterson, all names we're going to see in Cleveland this week. So I think for me, Bumgarner is a better fit in the National League, and it's all about, for me, how a National League team, and the one that's probably the next best club in that league is probably the Braves right now, how can the NL clubs control the Dodgers' powerful left-handed hitters in the month of October? You've got to prepare for that right now in the coming weeks and make that big trade. You have to make an October trade in July here before July 31st.
Right, and given his history against L.A., I'm sure the Dodgers would be happy to see him leave the National League altogether. John Morosi is my guest. Now, John, the All-Star game, as we're talking about, is in Cleveland tomorrow night. The thought had been a few weeks back that Cleveland was going to be a selling club, but they've won six in a row, and they've got the second wild card spot as we speak. How do you think they'll approach the next few weeks?
Well, Jim, it's a great topic around baseball, and so I'm glad you asked about it. I mean, it's been hotly debated for a long time, but as you point out, with the way they've played of late and the fact that you've got three still rebuilding clubs in your division in the American League Central, I believe will help the Indians have a higher record than you might expect, because they'll be able to match up against the likes of the Royals and the White Sox and the Tigers over the last couple months of the season. And that will give them an advantage in relative terms to the AL East clubs, for example, who have to deal with two really good contenders, because you've got three effective contenders. They're all playing each other. And even out west, the Angels have played better of late, the Rangers as well, joining the Astros, and the A's, of course. So that's a very competitive division. And I think in some ways the Indians will benefit from the rebuilding nature of their divisional competition because of the unbalanced schedule. I think right now the most likely scenario, Jim, is that they hold. I don't see them buying aggressively, but I also think that it would be a little odd, I think, for them to trade the likes of Carlos Santana and Brad Hand right now and make those moves at this point in time, given how well they've played. So I think they're a club that's going to hold. Maybe they make a small move around the margins, but I'd be surprised if they did a wholesale moving out of pieces, because they are competitive. And as you point out, if the playoffs began today, they'd be in it. Very hard to be a seller under those circumstances.
John Morosi is joining us. He's all over the festivities in Cleveland for the All-Star game. John, you mentioned the Angels, and of course the league was rocked last week with the news of the passing of Angels pitcher Tyler Skaggs. For those who did not know Skaggs, what was he like as a player and as a person?
Well, Jim, he was an amazing light for that organization and for the game as well. I remember a number of years ago I had a chance to talk to him in spring training, and he is one of the unique people who, after talking to him for 10 minutes, you felt as though you'd known him for 10 years. And he just told stories so easily. And speaking with Brad Ausmus, I saw the Angels over the weekend in Houston, and Brad was talking about how he was the one who controlled the clubhouse sound system after a win. He would be the DJ that spun the best music and got everybody in a great mood. So that's why it's so emotional to spend time, as I did around the Angels over the weekend, because they go between the incredible pain of losing a close friend at such a terribly young age, and then they would also want to share with a smile their memories of what an incredible person he was. So there's a remarkably large void right now in the sport, and certainly for the Angels, and I know the thoughts and prayers of the whole sport have been with them and will continue to be, because whenever you talk to a player, whether it's in this clubhouse or those who have gone through similar tragedies in the past, they'll all tell you that, especially in a tight-knit atmosphere of a clubhouse, there is no straight line improvement in terms of the grieving process. It's going to be a process. You're going to have to lean on your counselors and the people around you to help you through it. And I think the first home game back for them, Jim, will be a challenge on Friday in Anaheim, but they've got a whole world of support behind them and some incredible families that are around the players that are helping them through it as well, because it's a very difficult time right now for the Angels, but they're doing a great job, I think, of representing their friend's memory and his passion for life, his spirit for the game, in the way they've played here over the past week.
Well said. John Morosi joining us. I don't think you ever get over something like that. I think you just hope to get beyond it. And then before tomorrow night's game, John, in Cleveland, the All-Star game, the league is going to honor C.C. Sabathia for his contributions to the game and to the community. What has he meant to the game, and how special will that moment be tomorrow night?
It's going to be extraordinary, Jim, and I think that that moment, and of course Michael Brantley getting a nice ovation, a huge hand, I'm sure, coming back to Cleveland will be powerful as well as an All-Star for the American League. But C.C. Sabathia, I always, a couple stories to me stand out. Number one, we talk about the difficulty of going to the big markets and living up to the hype and the expectations when you're a superstar. CC has done that for a decade, and the respect that he garners just in the way that he treats people, the Boys and Girls Club, the time he's given there, how involved he's always been in the community, whether it's back where he grew up in California or in New York and New Jersey, where he has lived and worked for a decade. He is revered. Teammates respect him, and opponents respect him. I know from just talking to people in both of those categories, he is one of the most respected people in uniform, out of uniform, anywhere in the game. And you think about his very first year, he goes to the Yankees. They win a World Series back in 2009. The year previous to that, when he was a free agent to be, all the expectations, you think about how nowadays you want to make sure you preserve your market value and keep your arm healthy. He was pitching on 3 days rest for about the last 6 weeks of the season in Milwaukee. That earns him so much credit. So just a really respected veteran, always accessible to us, easy with a smile, easy with his support for teammates. You're going to see, I think, as the crowds cheers for CC, of course, being a former Cleveland Indian, you're going to see all of his peers in the major leagues reacting the very same way, because there are in all the years I've covered the game, Jim, I cannot think of a player who is more widely respected than C.C. Sabathia.
You know, he is beloved. He is revered. John Morosi, same thing would be said about you, John. You are beloved and revered. You can watch him across MLB Network's programming throughout the season. Plus, MLB Network has live All-Star Game coverage from Cleveland today and tomorrow. John, great to have you back. Thanks for breaking that down. Always good to talk to you.
Jim, my pleasure. Thanks as always for the kind words, my friend. I feel the same way about you. I always love listening to your show, and so it's a great honor anytime I am on it. So all the best to you and your family, and look forward to catching up again soon.
You too, John. You always make this show much better. Thank you very much. John Morosi, working for MLB Network, NHL Network, Fox Sports, MLB Network Radio, and a good friend of the program.